turn over to Proverbs 19 and 21, and also Philippians 1 and 27. Proverbs 19 and 21, Philippians 1 and 27. We're going to be going through several scriptures today. I want to complete a message that I started a few weeks ago entitled, Do You Know Your Position? And we went over Psalm 91 with the 18 promises that are involved in Psalm 91. And I hope everyone reads Psalm 91 every day because it does minister to you. And you can pray that over your family. You can pray that over your friends, over your neighbors. You can pray that psalm over them. And you can claim that psalm or embrace that psalm or take that psalm into your life and use it for your own life every day. And you say, well, I wasn't here for the 18 blessings or the 18 promises. You can get the sermon actually on the internet where it's fully spoken, and I can give you the link after service if you want that. I'll be more than happy to give that to you. It's up there. So let's begin this morning. We're going to talk about the second part. Now, the first part was positioned in his presence. That would be Psalm 91, positioned in his presence. And again, I want to ask you, are you assured that you're positioned in his presence? You're not living outside his presence. A lot of people say they're Christians, but they're living outside the presence of God. And I know what David wrote. He said, wherever I go, your presence will be felt there. But there is a position that you can, in a place you can be that's outside the presence of God. You've turned from God, but you claim that you are a child of the living God, but your lifestyle doesn't declare that. By your actions, by your words, by your thoughts, by your deeds, it doesn't declare it. And I believe that if you're going to be a Christian, you need to live like a Christian. If you're going to say you're a Christian, you need to be a Christian. The Bible declares that that's very important for all of us to live like that. The uniqueness about that is that Christianity really simply means Christ-likeness. We need to be like Christ and have that in our life at all times. So then the second part of this message is called positioned in his purpose. And let me read this scripture to you. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Whatever your plans may be, you can align them to the word of God to make sure your plans are going to be blessed by God. You don't try to make plans outside the kingdom of God's purpose for your life. Make plans according to what God has purposed for your life and align your plans with God. I would go as even to say if you're planning a trip somewhere, pray and ask God to use you on that trip. Have the Lord lead you to someone that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. Lead you that you could bring the kingdom principles into someone's life. Leads you that you would be shown favor wherever you go. How many would like favor every day of their life? If you begin to live in the purpose that God has for you, favor automatically follows that. It really does. I want you to hear this today because a lot of people aren't getting what they want from God, and the reason is because you're out of position. You're out of position. You're living outside his presence because of lifestyle. Or you're living outside your purpose. You're doing something that's not your purpose. I would be a terrible auto mechanic. Okay? I really would. And I could tell you really, and I'll tell you a little story before I go on. I would be a terrible worship leader. Thank you, my wife. When I first came into the ministry back in 1977, I would stand on the platform with all the worship leaders and be in the back because I was kind of the in-house evangelist and an associate pastor. And I think my father-in-law put me there just because he didn't want to deal with me asking him all the time, you know. So it's like I do with a few people here. But anyhow, namely, anyhow, so the bottom line is that when I joined the Church of God in 1980 in Watsonville Church of God, my home church, Brother Glenn Green was the pastor there. And one day, when I walked into service, he said, "I want you to lead worship this morning." And you know, that's always been my greatest heart's desire, to stand before people and, you know, sing. You know, and so I got up there, and in the old days, we used to use what they call the red back hymnal. You know, and matter of fact, we were so connected to the red back hymnal that when we started to take them out of the church, members left the church because we took the hymnal out. I dare not say if we ever took a Bible out, you know, of the pew, what would happen. And I'm being facetious, of course, but that was gone. And then when we started the new songs, you know, that we're doing now, and we didn't do hymns, we had to wrestle with that. Now, I like everything. I like all the hymns. I like it all. So don't think I'm here to say anything negative. But I got up there and I opened up the red back hymnal to Amazing Grace. And I'm not going to go through it, what I did, but I began to sing Amazing Grace, and I watched his wife looking at me like this, and then she went like this. And for the whole service, she was like this, and Brother Green was, he was like over looking at the piano player, and he was looking all around, and then I went to prayer bells from heaven, and then I finished with One Glad Morning. And all of it, I'll fly away. See what I mean? I'll fly away. That's how come I didn't do well, because I started with, you know, One Glad Morning. It's supposed to be I'll Fly Away. But I sang that, and at the end of the service, he just said, Brother Green said, didn't say a word. But I will say this to you today. That was the first and the last time I was ever asked to lead worship. 36 years later, no one has asked me to lead worship. Now, I've been asked to preach all over the nation, across the seas, and universities and churches, large and small, but never was I asked to lead worship. I got the hint, okay? I'm believing I'm living in my purpose right now. And that's what's so important is that we do that, to live in our purpose. Somebody heard me singing in this church one day, and they were just being kind. They said, "Wow, Pastor, you sound like you're a professional singer." And I'm thinking, they got a hearing problem, you know. I said, thank you, but no, I'm just joking. But the bottom line is that I don't do good at it. I don't do good at it. So, and I wouldn't be good as an auto mechanic, a worship leader. You know, I probably wouldn't be good at, well, just, I don't know, construction, you know. I would probably put the nail gun and put my hand to the board and nail the hand there, boom. And then when they say, it's time for lunch, I'd say, you got to get me off the board here. You know, whatever it may be. But I believe that we should be living in our purpose. So what is your plans today? What's in your heart? What's there today? I can't look into your heart. I can discern things. I'm gifted in that area. And God opens up people's lives to me. And I'm gifted there. But the point of it is that what I'm saying is, in your heart right now, what are your plans? Our God is God, have you invited your God into your heart for those plans? It's okay if you have, and if you have not, it's okay that you do. To get him in there, and that you can begin to have him lead you and fulfill the things that you want. Even if you are wanting to pastor someday, you need to pray that you go to the right church. Because if the wrong pastor goes to the right church, it's not a good mix. And if the right pastor goes to the wrong church, it's not a good church. It's not going to work. Things are going to go crazy. You need to pray. You need to know exactly what your giftings are and have that there. So it says that the Lord's counsel will stand. So no matter what happens in your life, if you use God's counsel, you'll stand. You'll stand with him, and he'll be there for you. Having a positional purpose brings unity of spirit and togetherness of faith. It's outlined in God's good news. You're there. So if you're feeling out of sync, it may be because you're not in his purpose. If you're not lined up to the chief cornerstone, you're going to build a crooked wall. It's important that you find what your purpose is, your destiny, and that you live there. and have that there and pray about that every day. You know, you may not be a person that prays every day. You should pray. You should at least pray every day. Say something to God, okay? You know, like, good morning, God, I love you. Gotta go. But say something to God. But if you're called to prayer, like I am, I'm a man that's called to pray. You know, I pray all the time. You know, and it's just what I'm saying to you is that you got to fulfill that purpose. You know, you got to be able to, if you're a preacher, then preach. If you're a teacher, don't try to preach because you're going to mess it up. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? If you got the gift of teaching, you'll be all right then. But if you're just a preacher, preach. I like what Paul said to Timothy. He said, preach the word. He didn't say teach the word. If you look at it in the Greek, he said, preach the word. In other words, strongly encourage people about the word of God. And he said, don't let people criticize you because of your youthfulness. You see, what I'm trying to say there is that oftentimes, if you'll allow me to preach for a moment, oftentimes people will try to keep you from fulfilling your purpose. It's amazing to me. And another thing I want to say this, is that if you're competitive in your purpose with someone else, you're not in God's purpose. God's plan for the church is not competitiveness, it is togetherness. Amen. It's loving people and helping people and encouraging. It's the corporate world that steps on the person's shoulder to get to the top. It's the Christian world that reaches down and picks up somebody that has fallen and lifts them above themselves. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Praise God. It's important that we grab a hold of what our purpose is. Let's look at Philippians 1 and 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Wow. In other words, you need to live according to the dictations of glory. And you need to lift up Jesus in anything that you do and everything that you do. Praise God, it's so important. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, he was in prison at this particular point, Paul was writing a letter, you know. I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose. Oh, that the church today in America would be in one spirit and one purpose. What is our design? It is to win souls to the kingdom of God. It's not to say that we're better than the church down the street. It's not to say that we have more going than the church down the street. We are to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's our purpose as a general church. Is to invite people into the kingdom. I am so glad. You've heard me say this so many times, but I can't help myself. I am so glad I am saved. Amen. Aren't you glad today that if you left this earth today, you'd walk into the presence of Jesus Christ? Amen. That's such a great feeling. To know that you're going to go to heaven. And if you're thinking right now, you know, I don't really know. I want you to know, you come to the altar today and we're going to pray you through to the other side. Praise God, old Pentecostal term. Pray you through to the other side. Amen. And you can leave here today knowing that you're saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Fighting together for the faith, not against one another. Fighting together. Oh, if the church would stop fighting one another. And caring for one another and loving one another and being thankful for great churches and being thankful for churches that are just starting and being thankful for churches that are on the same neighborhood or the same block. Be thankful for one another and stop fighting one another. If congregations would learn to get along. You know, being saved and being joyful is a good thing. And when you're in your purpose, you're so busy in your purpose, you don't have time for critical moments. You don't have time for seeing if something's wrong. Let me tell you something. Something is always wrong. You don't have to look for it. And you don't have to talk about it. You just move on. I'll be confessed to you today. I may be a preacher. I'm not a song leader. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a construction guy at all. Okay, I can teach, but I'd rather preach. I love to pray. I'd rather pray than anything else. But I'm a mess. I am a mess. God called me because every Sunday they stop heaven for comedy hour. Dennis is preaching. What I'm trying to say is that what we need to do is we need to know our purpose and stop worrying about anything else and get in our purpose and follow God and let God lead us, for it's His plans, His counsel that'll continue to keep us standing. Are you with me?
Yes.
Fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. It's all about the word. It's about how much word we can put out there. How much word we can bring to people's lives. And how important that is, that we bring word into their life. A word, speaking life into their life. You don't need to be out of sync. You don't need to be out of position. You don't need to be somewhere out there in the dark corners of a room. You need to be right in the center of God's light and let Him lead you and let Him prosper you. Let Him bless you. Let Him heal you. Let Him answer your prayers. Let Him speak into your life. He'll speak to you whenever, wherever, any day of the week when He wants to speak, He'll talk to you. And He loves to talk to His children just like I love to talk to my children, even though they're in their 30s and just broke into their 40s. I love to talk to them. I love to protect them. You know, last night my son's baby came to the house with the mother. And it was a surprise visit, but it was a great visit. I had to miss the grandkids day yesterday. My wife was gone up here, and I was home all alone making a bunch of food and, you know, just going through all this stuff. Cut my finger, you know, everything, you know, good. I'm not a good guy. But, you know, and man, my kids, we have a thing going on the TV, and all the grandkids are always on the TV going through these pictures. I started seeing them, and I started to get a little teary-eyed, you know, and I got a man, and then I manned up and didn't, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, it got a little happened there, and it got a little teary-eyed, and I'm thinking, man, I miss my grandkids. And then this one comes over last night. It was so beautiful, you know, and then it like, I was up till 3:30 in the morning because the baby was on the couch. My son was on the couch sleeping, and the baby was there, and I went over, and I got a pillow, and I put the pillow in front of the baby so the baby couldn't roll off because he's asleep, you know. And I thought to myself, that's what God does for us. He's up. He's just not up thinking, man, I wish everybody stopped snoring so I can go to bed. He is up. And He's watching over us, and He's taking a pillow and putting it by us, so if we stumble, we'll fall, and we will not be hurt.
Amen.
We just need to get in position to where God will be there for us at all times. Jesus had His positional purpose always before Him, and that is why He was able to overcome those that tried to detour Him. He knew what He was about. He knew where He was going. Stop listening to the criticizers, church. Stop listening to people trying to stop you from becoming who you are. I know people that are not where they need to be because they listened to people years ago telling them they could never get anywhere anyhow. Oh, my goodness gracious. If that's not the devil's language, I don't know what is. You'll never be anything. You'll never get anywhere. You're stupid. You're an idiot. Forget it. You know, you might as well hang it up. Just sit down in the pew and don't do anything. That's all you get. My God, I read the Bible and he says, you're great. You're awesome. You're going to make it. The mountain before you, praise God, I'm going to remove the mountain, the river, I'm going to separate it, the sea, I'm going to separate it, praise God, the valley, I'm going to take you through it, and praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to lift you up on high, amen, and if you can't get anywhere, run to the tower, which my name is, and it's high name, and it's a strong tower, and you'll find safety in it. Don't listen to the criticizers. If I listened to criticizers, man, I wouldn't do anything. I'd go in the corner and get in a fetus position and go, ah! That's why we got the shield of faith. Every fiery dart of the enemy is quenched. Praise God, and we move forward in the power and the anointing of God. Romans 14 and 9, Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be the Lord both of the living and the dead. So folks, position yourself in your purpose. If you pray, God will tell you what your purpose is. You have a destiny. You really do have a destiny. When I was young, I knew that I had a destiny in God. I knew it even as a young boy. I knew it. But I ran into the darkness of sin. And I still knew it. I did horrible things and I still knew it. That I was going to be something for God one day. I had a woman call me on the phone when I was just a young boy running a gang in Cleveland, Ohio, just as a young kid. And she said, is this Dennis Adams? I said, yes, it is. Said, are you the boy that beat up my son, all those boys yesterday in the street? I said, I guess, I don't know. Who's this? He said, oh, I'm the mother and I want to say something to you. And I thought, I'm in trouble. She said, I just want to say you're a leader. And if you would learn to lead people in the good things, you will take people a far way. I was stuck. What was I going to say to that? I had priests tell me and I had nuns tell me, you need to go. You got something about your life that's so special. When I was studying Far Eastern religion, the yogis would find me and take me out of the crowd and they would say, I want to teach you specifically. They gave me a turban. They gave me all the things that no one else got right away because they saw something. When I was in Far Eastern religion, those that could read auras said that I had a golden aura around me that high spiritual people get. Well, I didn't buy into all that. I said, you know, I'm not saying this to say, look at me. I'm saying that all my life I knew I needed to be away from darkness into the light. And the day that my wife brought me to the Lord and her mother and a few people in Stuart, Florida brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ, I felt myself get positioned in the kingdom of God. Yeah. I know you got a testimony too. Don't misunderstand. But I'm saying to you, please don't let the devil pull you out of your position so he can reconstruct your life. Throw off the devil's tricks and his lies and start moving in your position of position and presence and purpose with God. And then lastly, there's this position. Positioned in his power. Sadly to say, today's church is becoming more and more powerless. Because there's less and less prayer and less active faith. Well, but yet we are birthed in the kingdom through a powerful thing that happened, and that was Jesus Christ dying and raising on the third day. And he said that I'll send the Holy Spirit. who will walk along your side and show you things to come. Testify of me and speak of all truth. He said, if you to the disciples and those ready to go to Jerusalem, he said, just be patient, wait there, and you shall receive power from on high. The church is getting to a place to where is the Holy Ghost even involved anymore? The power of God. In other words, standing in your positional power. In other words, you're standing there, and no matter what the enemy throws at you, he cannot win because you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are a child of the living God. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, some are. And what you need to understand that if you're filled or if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you are still full of power. I tell you that the enemy, when he knows that you are positioned in the presence and in your purpose and in the power of God, he is not going to mess with you. There's too many others to choose from. The church needs to come back to that place of power. Not sitting, but standing in the liberty of the freedom of his might. And the freedom of his knowledge that he gives us. Don't be afraid of anything. Rise up. Move forward in the kingdom's purpose. Rise up and move forward in who you are. Rise up and know that no matter what comes your way, you are able to stand and know that the enemy will not be able to beat you or overtake you because you already have the victory. Why? Because the Lord said, stand ye still and know that the battle is not yours, but it belongs unto me. Amen. See the salvation of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
To know that. How many of you have been fighting things lately? Go ahead, raise your hand. You've been fighting things. Well, guess what? Get on your power jackets today. Get on your power boots and your power girdle and your power shoulder pads and your power shield of faith and your power helmet and your power sword of the Spirit. Amen. Did I say girdle?
Yes.
Gird around your waist the power of God. Hallelujah. Sorry. Anyhow. See, I told you God has a good laugh once in a while with me, doesn't he? Amen. Don't let yourself be caught up in bondage. You know, God doesn't want you to have a sad day ever. God wants you to have a good day all the time. He paid the price for that. That you'd wake up happy and go to bed happy. And in between happy and happy, you'd have joy. Instead of in between happy and happy, you got despair, sadness, depression, the woe is me syndrome. Praise God. The reasons people turn the other way when you come is because you're coming the wrong direction. You need to come with happiness and joy and knowing that God has brought you to a place. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We are free. You have liberty. Faith gives you liberty. The blood gives you liberty. By the confession of your mouth, you got liberty. If the enemy speaks something to you, don't speak back to him. Just say to God, I am going to make it. I am going to be victorious. Because your word promises me that I will be victorious. And the power you gave me, praise God. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, In the Amplified Version, in the Greek, how it's really written, it really starts off, by the power that is in you, He, God, is able, exceedingly, abundantly, more than able to do all that you ask or think. By the power. I just say this to you, if I can, just get to asking. Get to dreaming. Amen. I heard a Church of God and Christ preacher preach one time. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard. He wasn't an educated man. He didn't have a doctor in front of his name. He was just elder. He didn't have a large church anywhere. It wasn't like he was some, you know, running 5,000 member or 25,000 member church. He was from the old school of Pentecost. And this is what he preached. The message called, "You Gotta Have the Want To." And all the way through his message, he just leaned over his pulpit and he says, "You gotta have the want to. Do you have the want to?" And that's the question we all need to answer. Do we have the want to? Do we want to be victorious? Do we want to be overcomers? Do we want to walk in power, not in fear? You know, fear can really take you down. But faith takes you through. Jesus takes you over. Praise God, and having that in your life and knowing the knowledge to do all and to stand, placing on the whole armor, not part of the armor, but all of the armor, putting it on, and then knowing that you're putting on God's spiritual blessings in your life, that nothing can stop you. You can win every day, not just Sunday. You can look spiritual every day, not just Sunday. You can feel good every day about your life, not just Sunday. I know you all do. I know you go home and on Monday you're feeling so good. You're just like shouting victory. I know Tuesday comes around and you're just like beyond shouting. Man, you lost your voice. You're so happy. Wednesday, you're dancing all over the house and you don't even need dance lessons. Thursday, you're jumping up and you're just going, oh man, you're praising God. You're just speaking in tongues all over the place and your neighbors are coming over saying, you all right? And you're just laying hands on them. They're getting saved. The whole neighborhood getting saved. Friday, you're just like, my God, I'm telling you what, I'm going to pray. You pray from sun up to sun down. And you're just there praising God. Amen. And your mate comes home. Your spouse comes home. And they say, where's dinner? He said, the Holy Ghost is cooking it right now in the kitchen. He said, well, thank you. And a miracle meal showed up. Praise God. Saturday, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so good. I'm just going to shout, dance, pray, design a message, do all I possibly can. Praise. I'm going to drive the car around the block 3 times with the top down saying, hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. And you say, well, I don't have a convertible. You got so much faith, your hard top becomes a convertible just for that drive around the block. You're feeling that good. Sunday comes and you come. I hope he doesn't preach long. Oh, I guess he said, say amen. Amen. You see, somewhere we lose our victory from the car to the door. I'm saying bring your victory into the house of God. This is a place of celebration. We are positioned in His presence. We are positioned in our purpose. And we are positioned in His power. Amen. We are God's chosen people. We're peculiar folk. We're different from the world. We're not shaped or molded like them. We are shaped and molded like God's kids. Amen. Always dress in the power of God before you move forward in your positional power. Be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand by standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you something. Do you know that the kingdom of God is not in word but in power? God's kingdom is power. And we're in his kingdom. We are people of power. And the enemy is working so hard across this nation of America and throughout this world to tear the power down from the church and get her weak where she's not defending herself. People are home today on Sunday. I'm going to say a few things here, and I know some of you ain't going to get mad, but maybe somebody's listening to this thing, you get mad. This is where they're going to push the button and say, eh. Before they do that, I'm going to say it to them. But anyhow, people stay home and they watch their sporting events today. They don't give God that time. I don't care what you're doing or where you're going or what's going on in your life. Always give God time. He notices you and I. He notices what we choose to do. And the enemy will try to keep us from praying, from fasting, from reading the word, from going to church. That's what he does. That's what he's good at. Somebody turn to John 10:10. Just turn to it. Just get it up for me right now. John 10:10. John 10:10. Raise your hand when you get it. John 10:10. The enemy is good at trying to destroy us. Read. Read. Hold it. The thief comes only to
steal,
and kill,
and destroy.
That's his whole plan. What Selena just said there is the only employment of the thief representing the devil. His only employment is to
steal,
kill,
and destroy.
You steal your position, kill your purpose, and destroy your power. Right. What did Jesus come to do? Selena, what did he come to do?
He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
I have come that they may have life. Jesus' only purpose for his coming, that you and I would have life. Okay, that's good. But not only life, but to its fullest extent.
Amen.
Can I get happy?
Yes. Woo! Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Now that was from the Holy Ghost. I don't even have this in notes. That was from the Holy Ghost. You see that, how that lined up? God just spoke to us as he's been speaking through me today, but he just added some little yeah to it. That's why Jesus came. Why then do we act like we ain't got it together? Simple vernacular. We ain't got it together. Because the devil is getting his job done. I'm going to say something out loud. Can I say it out loud? I'm going to say it out loud. Devil, you are fired. You no longer are working here at Hope for the Bay. Get out. Amen. Say that when you get home to your families, in your home, on your property. Praise God. In your car. You know the best discussions happen in cars, don't you? I don't know what it is, but the windows are up, you're going 65, and you can talk about anything. I won't go. That's another message. I'm not going to go there. Praise God. I'm just saying today that we need to understand that people do a lot of talking, but they don't do a lot of positional moving in their power. People want to view the kingdom from a distance but not partake of it in its positional power. It's really good to look at things from a distance. When it says that there is a great group of people surrounding us in heavenly places, looking down upon us, those folks are not looking at a distance. They're in the center of the creation of that power. And they're watching us to make sure that we are aware of the power that indwells within us and the victory that belongs to us. Amen. We have victory. You have, even today, and I'm going to close, but even today, even today, if you're thinking today, you know, I just don't have it together. Or my ministry isn't just, it's just not growing. Or it's just not happening. And I'm feeling funky about it. You know what I mean? Don't do that to yourself. God is waiting for you to latch on to what he has promised and to ride that promise with him. I tell you, the fence always looks green. I mean, the grass always looks greener on the opposite side of the fence. But you know where I learned it didn't? When I saw a big old picture on a wall. Huge picture. And it was drawn so you'd center the cow immediately. You saw the cow chewing on some grass. And he's looking through a window. Like the grass over there is better. But then all of a sudden you pull back, your eyes look at the cow and the grass and the window, then all of a sudden you pull back and you see the window is in the middle of the same meadow. And he's looking at the same grass through a window thinking, if I can just get over there, it's better. But it's in the same meadow. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We've got to understand where God has planted us. We need to have God grow us. And bless us.
Amen.
And see his fulfillment come through us, that others will see it and find God through it.
Amen.
I don't know how Jesus must have felt when he was walking down that Via Della Rosa. Everything I came to do, I'm fulfilling. But they're looking at me. Like I'm a loser, and I'm not the person they thought I was. And the first person that said something when he died was the Roman soldier. He said, "Truly, this is the Son of God. Truly, the one has called you into your in his presence, into your purpose, and into position power, is the Son of God. Don't let the devil push you aside. Don't let him push you down. Don't let him say your plans are better than God's counsel. It's not. And we're human. All of us are fallen to this. All of us are there. In my closing remarks, all of us are there. in that place where we begin to think our plans are better than the counsel that God first spoke to us. Because we run out of patience waiting on the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, what shall what? Renew their strength. Shall mount up as wings of eagles, shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. David said, wait upon the Lord. I say, wait. He said, I shall see the Lord in the land of the living. Friend, we are in the land of the living right now. Amen. Looking at God's words, you'll find that a cornerstone is there to align to. It's there. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. You have blessings that belong to you, that are promised to you. 18 of them just in 91. There's over 3,000 promises in the Bible itself. Over 3,000. Some people say 3,300. You know what? Let's just say over 3,000 promises in the Bible. And nearly 600 of those are yet to be fulfilled in this generation. They're yours. They're mine. They're ours. Get in position of His presence. Live there. Walk in your purpose, who you are, and move and live in the positional power that He gives you. You have authority. Pray in your home. Pray in the Spirit wherever you are. And when you've done all that you can do, stand. Knowing your position will reveal your potential in His presence, purpose for you and His power in your life. He will reveal to you your position, and you will see the Lord bring victory in the battle that you may be going through today.